Good morning, I'm David Ellis, and I welcome you to this, the Friday edition of Down to Brass Tacks, going until 2 o'clock today. With me in the studio as my technical operator and producer is Dennis Johnson. As usual, you can talk with us by calling us or by sending us some messages via WhatsApp. It's 266-4862. Via the telephone, it's 434-1790. And you can also send your emails to us at brasstacks@starcomnetwork.net. It's so easy for us to pick the negative things that are prevalent around us and go with them and put the focus on them because, you know, naturally you want to get wrong things right. But once in a while you come across something that has happened in the country that you find so inspiring and so different. And that, to me, is worthy of our attention because ultimately a focus on that kind of situation also helps to point us in the direction of putting wrong things right. What stands out for me is a story in today's Nation newspaper about the refusal of a 15-year-old Princess Margaret student called Araya to be provoked into a physical confrontation by a student from another school. Well, I'd seen this video circulating on social media, and from the time I saw it, I was struck by the extent to which this young lady avoided confrontation. And it stands out because in many, many instances we have been seeing videos circulating on social media here in Barbados that have portrayed young women in this country in a most aggressive light. This one is worthy of our attention. On the video, the last thing the other student did was to push her. But even then, she didn't retaliate. Now, we don't want to take this opportunity to condemn the other student beyond what she has already experienced. But what is worthy of note as well is the positive attitude as seen in the newspaper today that has been coming from her mother. She is reported to have accepted that her child has done wrong and agrees that this child should be exposed to some kind of counseling and activity that has the potential to make a difference in her life. She's talking more about the juvenile liaison scheme. Now, you know that this is one of those projects which has been run by the Barbados Police for quite some time. And if you've listened to me long enough, you know that I've accused them of saying too little about it in recent times. But it is a program that Araya's father, Delroy, is convinced has made a world of difference to his daughter's behavior. Delroy, good morning.
Hello, good morning.
Welcome to Down to Brass Tacks. Now talk to me about your experience with your daughter, Araya, and why you are one of those who believe that the juvenile liaison scheme has made a world of difference.
Well, it started about two years ago when Araya was in second form. She used to leave 6 rows, get finished school at 2:30, but she would turn at home 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, and it only took half hour to go to 6 rows to her home. So after it going on for a little while and, you know, teachers calling, Araya get school late. She shouldn't get school late. She'd leave form at 7 o'clock. It's only take half hour to get in 6 rows. I told her mother, look, we got to find some help for Araya. She's not hearing me because they're not 12 years old. We need to do something with this kid. So we went to District C, and I think it was Sergeant Strong or something. I think near Sergeant Strong. He gave me these little flyers. And I tell her a month ago, because I was busy with work, and her mom went and started the program with Miss Waterman. And that did wonders for her, because her grade started to improve. She just got home early, unless they got, again, some bus problems, no. So the 3:30 curfew we put on her. Sometimes she come at 3:45, but most of the time she did be home at 3:30. But what I must say about that program is that it is that way a lot of the free time that young kids has got to do a lot of stupidness. And put them to do positive things. Like, the police state them to nursing homes where they got the old people, where they plot the hair, they cook food, and all of that was settling to become best and all the better rounded individuals.
Was she ever an aggressive child?
No, she was never aggressive. She don't pick fights or anything, but she would think the reason we put her in the program was because then she was standing sit, she was lame, maybe she French. One evening they went and parked and sit, she was and saw her and she felt and had to vent over to Chef and said, but I thought the agreement was to go to the bus stop and come home. But the friends weren't lame, so she won't lame. But no, you're not supposed to lame. You got to hear your parents here.
So how else would you say you've seen her change as a consequence of exposure to this scheme?
Well, the changes you see in her, she will help out around the house. She do act like aggressive. She is always like talk, even with other little kids and things, you know, trying to get involved and fight and things. She would talk with them.
She is a peacemaker now.
Yeah. Because I just said that she was a follower, but after listening to the counselors at the camp, and then they tell me, no, she is a leader. I said, no, to me, she just follows her friends. Because if your parents don't come home get home by 3:30, and you follow your friends to chauffeur, you're following people, you're a leader, and you should be telling them, let me all be going together.
So you discovered something new about her because she was exposed to this particular scheme.
Yeah, the scheme that sell young people, I'm telling you.
What is she saying to you all now about this whole experience and what people have been telling her? Because I've seen a fair amount of response to it on Facebook, where I tend to spend a little bit more time than I do on the other social media.
But she haven't been on Facebook to see the comments or anything, all that she see them as yet. But, and for the incident happened, I was picking her up from school. Because I don't want another confrontation, but I spoke to the grandmother. And, you know, we come to agreement and stuff, and she took the numbers and she called Mr. Clark at the programs and then actually set up a date for the child. I saw it can't be this weekend. We will be available to attend it too, but the date is next week and I wouldn't be available next week.
Based on this experience, what would you suggest to other people in Barbados about, you know, how we can go about trying to change our children for the better?
I would suggest to them to contact the junior liaison scheme. They just got a session every Saturday in Robert Street by the headquarters there. You go there and enlist your child into the program. Don't just send your kids to summer camp. I think this program is work a lot better for kids.
Of course, you're likely to find
working,
working with
the police. I find the children got more listen to police than a camp counselor. If a police tell a child do something, the child got more peer attention, unless he real deviant.
You're in a position though to talk to us about how you see the influence of the police, the counselor, and the influence of the parent, because, you know, in many instances people say, but charity begins at home, that one would expect that the parent or parents would be the ones influencing children in that positive direction. What are the difficulties that you see there?
Yeah, as a parent, you just tell the child, don't do this, don't do that. The parent, the child gonna be a certain child at home. But when they leave and they go and they meet up with the peers, that's when things just unfold different. And then the parents don't have a clue of what's going on with these kids. I find the kids just tend to keep a lot of secrets of one another, and it's only that something to happen, like one of them gets stabbed or something, and then you just hear all these negative stories coming out that you was begging the kids all months and months. So this happened, that happened, and they don't ever tell the parents. But if something happened, like a child gets stabbed, anything, then the kids seems to unravel then.
You have other children?
Yes, I got 3 other kids. All older than the rest.
All of them older?
Yeah, 15, 20. The rest 15, son is 20, and daughter is 26.
How have you seen them develop in this culture over this period, and how much more has it been more challenging or less so?
Well, her was the most challenging.
She was.
Yeah, she she's the last and she's the only, so she's the child that I always had to be on the lookout for. You know, she a rare do this, a rare do that to get just overbearing. One morning, Nicky Mamba's a parent come and asked me, where a rare is? They said, a rare going to school. She should be out of school. You know, some boy tell me a rare up on a bus going to Massad Street. So I call my friend up Massad Street and tell him that a bus coming up to Massad Street shortly. It should be boot and District Sea Hill or something. Look on the bus and tell me if you see a rare, that she off. But to get off in Massad Street, apparently one of she school friends forgot something home and tell she come and go over for the arm thing.
And that all changed now.
Yeah, all of that changed now.
So how did you congratulate your daughter? Coming out of all of this, what have you done for her?
Well, before that, you know, like, I just treat them on performances. You do good at school. Well, for this instance, I don't really do nothing for she has yet. We ain't really discuss what we doing yet. But if you do good at school, I reward you. If you do bad, everything that you get rewarded with, you're going to be all right. When you start by using tablets and cell phones and things, and summer last year, that's after the program, I can't finish anything, and I saw good results and positive things coming from her. But my uncles, she mother, any boy would tell you, I would buy a cell phone for a rare $300, and if somebody tell me a rare on the phone kissing a boy, and I take the phone and see the picture, I take the hammer and break it up.
Well, I
ain't turn it, but you know, I take heat to your head hard.
Yes.
You think about turning
but you, the key to this, though, is like, is what I'm discerning from it all is that, like so many other parents out there, you were having your challenges. But you know what? You decided that you were going to seek assistance based upon the advice that you got to go towards the juvenile liaison scheme. Today, what you have is a significant change in the behavior of your child. And we want to now put those negative things behind her and encourage her to stay on the right path. In that context, therefore, let me say to you that I want you to let your daughter know that there are many, many people here in Barbados who congratulate her on the stance that she took in all the circumstances, and we are proud to see the kind of change that she has made. Can you do that for us?
Yes, I do that. But I would like to see her also, too. The other kid that was seen in the video as a bully, it all stems from something somebody told her that arrested her, that, you know, that she's a fat pig. Because after watching the videos about 4 or 5 times yesterday.
We heard that.
Right.
We heard that in the video.
As I say, in life you just got choices. And 90% of the time, people just pick the wrong choice. They just make the wrong choice. I know the little girl mother for a lot of years. You know, she's like 2 years younger than me. But in my school days, all we were on the senior school bus heading home from Bridgetown. So after speaking with the grandmother, I tell her I would give her the number for the liaison scheme, which she did call. And I even offered on Saturday, when I was going to lessons, I will put the girl and her in the backseat of the car, the mother in the front with me, and we're going to go down the road together.
You've offered to do that?
I offered to do that, but unfortunately, her mom has to work this weekend.
Okay.
So she can't attend, but her meeting is set up for next week.
But that spirit of cooperation and assistance that you have displayed, and her acceptance of it, is also something that has caught our attention. Very, very positive story. One of the better stories that I've heard in a long time, Delroy. Congratulations to you and Araya's mother, and especially to that child who has made your family proud and certainly has been an inspiration to so many other people in this country. Okay?
Yeah, a lot of kids in Barbados just need to talk and stop being so aggressive. It takes two to make a fight. Just talk to one another and do a show of that aggression. That aggression going to lead to conflict, and then it's going to be problems for everybody all around.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you.
Fine. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Down to Brass Tacks. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Ellis.
Yes, welcome to the program.
Good morning to you, sir. Now, to that gentleman and his family, I gave him 100% for trying to help The other lady with her daughter, I've seen the video and I was filming myself, you know, but as I say, people are blaming parents at home, but when children outside fighting. But as a parent myself, I know that the child can behave very good at home. But when they get with their friends, and one friend eager them on and two friends eager them on, that's how it get out. It's always the parents at home. Sometimes the parents don't even know what's going on with the children on the road because they're out working. And, the children and do as they like because friend eager them on. I know that because I was at school myself and I brought up four children and I never have to go to school. Teacher never have to call me because I put down my rules. And my rules was, you do this, trust me, you're going to pay. But children today, my friends, and I am, I congratulate that he had a little young girl for not fighting. And I'm glad now the other girls are going to help to get counsel by the police. I think it's the best thing. When children get into anything like that, they should be signed up automatically with the training board that the gentleman was talking about. You understand? It's not every child want to go to dads or go to prison, but they never get the kind of attention that they need. You understand?
Yes.
They quick push them into a home because they was in a fight. And in home, they don't realize what was going on. You know, eager. When you eager someone on, Mr. Ellis, it's a bad thing. It's best to, what my grandmother always say, in a fight, try and walk away. But be honest with you, I never used to walk away, but I get beaten from my grandmother, the only one who could beat me. But I learned when I went to the UK to walk away, because, it's not nice getting into trouble. It's not nice. And children need, parents like this gentleman here should try and get into some of the schools and see if he could talk to some of the kids. His experience with his daughter, that would help a lot of children today.
Well, I think that the very fact that this information has gone viral, as they say, is mm-hmm. significant enough, and that that will expose so many other people to this particular situation and to the choices that were exercised on that occasion.
Mm-hmm.
So this is an era in which the social media works wonders. There are some people in Barbados who see social media, when you use the term social media, they interpret it to mean that it is all bad. But that's not so. I mean, there are good parts of it and there are bad parts of it.
Yeah, because in my book I was saying, just because the little girl is a little bit fluffy, the other one is, slender, she don't want to fight. But then I realized what the father was saying today, that make me feel proud. She one time she would have fight back. Don't care how big or small you are, but She did the right thing, walk away. That I was so pleased she walked away. But I was mad because, I was saying, code, just because you have your friends there, eagering you on. Everyone was eagering her on, No one was saying, stop it. So that's why she continued.
It isn't true that no one was saying stop it, because I think the father pointed to one child who was trying to defuse the situation.
But I didn't see that on the video. Sorry about that.
You might not have seen it, but you could hear it in the background.
Oh, anyway, no, I didn't. I can't congratulate him.
You didn't call exclusively to talk about that, though.
No. I called about yesterday. Where I was at the address, I just could not use my phone because there was no phone to use. I'm not going to use my cell phone to call VOB and wait, that long. I think it's Straker's Tenetry, you call it, gentleman?
Yes.
Yeah, well, he was on talking a bunch of alabaloo. Now, he's talking about mayor. He's talking about, when Mr. Arthur said, Moy cannot lead. He's talking about all other things. Mr. Ellis, when the BLP was in, as you rightly know, everything was going good. You get a few people that call in and want to say this, that. Now, we left 260 bus working. Now, we don't have 59. Every day you go on Barbados Road, a bus breakdown. You don't have no garbage truck. The few garbage truck give the workers 1,000,000% chant, you know, congratulations for the work they're doing to help people get their rubbish collected. I know people who haven't got five weeks, no rubbish collected because the truck overwork, right? You're talking about overthrow me. What about the Eagle 11? If one did move on Mr. and the Prime Minister, one or two did say they're going to take over or try to, you know, to say you're not the leader. Mr. Ferndale Stewart, the Prime Minister of Barbados, would have called him go in and dissolve Parliament and call an election, let everyone fight for their own corn. Because Mr. Stewart already have his pension secure. So everyone went back in their corners and didn't move. Everyone was like a little rabbit that you pet. They wouldn't move on the Prime Minister. You understand? And he's talking nonsense. Look at what's going on in Barbados. 22 downgrade. Right?
I didn't hear the exchange yesterday. Well, so I can't really comment on exactly what he said.
Yeah, but can I just finish and then you can count, please? Because sometimes when I get distracted, I get a little bit, you know, excited. Mm-hmm. Now, 22 downgrade. The workers hasn't get no pay rise for 10 years. All the workers in Barbados, shop assistant, wherever you are, no pay rise. They have water bill, light bill, shopping bill.
You know that there are still people who love the Democratic Labour Party, notwithstanding all of these things?
He's got to be fair. I would like him to come and challenge
fair
me.
Fair how?
Come and talk to me 100%.
What fairness do you expect from him?
It is like getting you
to praise the Democratic Labour Party today. I can't expect that of you.
Listen to me, Mr. When fear, you see me? I born the 27th of March, 1948. I'm 70 next Tuesday. And anyone that knows me from when I was a child or in the UK can tell you, if I see fairness, I will talk. And if I see wrong, I will talk. And if I like you, no one can turn it.
But that is exactly the point. That is exactly the point.
The point is this, fear is fear. He's talking a lot.
No, but you have just said that if you like somebody, nothing anyone can say against them, you will accept.
No. But if that person I like do something wrong, I don't.
And he's the other side of the coin. You are pro B. He's pro Dem.
Yeah, but he got to be fair.
Well, fairness as seen by you is not going to be seen the same way by him. Okay, let's accept that and move on.
Okay, the prison burned down. We have to build a prison. We have to build a prison. What do you want the prisoners to be running around in the street with a chain on their foot? Huh? You go and build a washer building in the Pine called the Water Authority. That money could help to pay the workers. Huh? Can you imagine 10 years? 10 years no pay? You think that could have happened only the BLP? All hell would break loose. The union wouldn't stand for it. The union today, to me, don't have no teeth. Can you imagine 10 years no, and you have to pay bills, and every day your bills going up higher and higher and higher and higher? Huh? Every day you go to the supermarket, you can't, you say, no, Jesus, you have to stretch the butter now. You have to stretch the sugar. You have to stretch. Even the salt, you can't even buy today. Huh? And he's talking. Anyhow, he come on, call me, and I put him in his place.
But I don't have your number. I don't have your number. So I can't call you. You have to call me. Down to brass tacks. Hello?
Mr. Ellis?
Yes, welcome.
Oh, welcome. Good morning to you and good morning to Barbados.
Good morning.
Three, I listen to your program every single day. And if I like all your moderators. You all have your specialty in each year all the way. But what I'm calling about today, three things that concern me as a citizen of this country. One, the Crane situation that turns out. I really want to know if there are two types of Barbados and if the law is good for the poor and if the law is good for the rich. If this thing would have happened, if the tables would have turned the other side, people would have got arrested for moving the property off of the Crane Hotel and there. Now, these are poor people, business people, and you cannot continue to exploit people in this manner. All beaches in Barbados are public owned. The Crown own every single piece of land on this island. And people cannot go and do such thing and walk away if they ain't nothing. And then you can tell me that you have to go to see where the waterline and where the marks is on this beach. Nonsense. Two, the unions in this country, if I was a union member, I would withdraw my dues from the union because they have no backbone for what they have done and what has now come up and thrown in their face because they can do nothing at this point in time.
How finally, else could they have dealt with this matter in your judgment, the unions that is?
They have been waiting long to, I would have negotiated from 5 years ago and could put some alternatives to the government when they were in power. And each time, if they're not getting clarity and I'm not seeing, I would talk to my members and let them know exactly what's going on and what's my plan. When they go to government, I become clear with them, let them know what the discussion was and what was my offer on the table and what was the government response. After one...
Don't you think that the union got a real... Well, went into a very difficult situation when it sought to have that strike action and very few people turned up or refused to go to work that day?
Well, I must tell you, people, I work in a big organization and people were afraid that day to go. Some went out.
They were afraid to go?
Yes, yes.
So if they are afraid to go...
You have a management system that can put things in place that... Who can work today.
Right, okay, let's accept that. Let's accept that. The people were afraid to take the necessary action. Didn't it therefore mean that they were weakened, that the employer was in a position, therefore, to intimidate them by using the management system to say that if you didn't come to work, you weren't going to be paid?
Correct.
So where you blame the union. The union is the collective. It is the people who make the union what it is. In those circumstances, because I thought that the union seemed to have had some teeth prior to that particular incident. So finding itself in that situation, what were its alternatives? Because this idea about negotiating, to me, what you're putting on the table would have had to be put there much earlier.
Yeah.
So what after the strike action appeared to fail, what was the alternative?
Well, my alternative is that I have to come back to the people and let them know, yes, they had a good set of numbers on the strike there, but they have people that feed them information, giving them information what happened in the workplaces, and then I would have counterattack them. Let them know that these people at the offices and the workplaces, don't let them scare you. We're holding another strike again, and we want every single person to come out. And we will shut this country completely down. Because
is there scope to do that now? Or is it too late?
It's too late.
Why is it too late?
At this point in time, Parliament dissolved.
But Cabinet still meets. Cabinet met up to yesterday. Ministers are still being paid.
Agreed.
The government is said to be still in place. Is it too late? Just because Parliament has been dissolved?
I feel it's too late, because they should have done it a long time ago. But we need to send a message. Something needs to be done, because there's total disrespect that letter that came out. We are only meeting on other matters. Anything is salary increase.
You can't strike because you're frightened to get your pay docked. So all this talk about taking further action is hollow. It rings hollow. You guys are too scared.
It's true. It is
true. All right.
It is true, Brother Ellis. And one more point that I don't know if you heard, but I got it through WhatsApp. You know, they got to clarify these things are true. I understand that the staff of the cruise terminal were locked out this morning.
I'm seeing something to that effect, that the Barbados port are locked out the staff this morning.
Yeah, because the government wants to get
that is being investigated right now.
Okay, Mr. Ellis.
But the question that you raised, the first point that you raised, if you look at the paper today, you will see that Eugene Melnick,
yes,
the Canadian businessman, is describing the situation and the tactics that have been used by the people at the Crane Resort as disgusting.
Disgusting.
Now, that's his assessment. The truth of the matter is that as long as I have been aware of what's been going on in Barbados, the government of Barbados has defended the right of Barbadians to use our beaches. And there have been a couple of instances where wealthy people who have money have used all types of tactics. Some of them have actually succeeded in trying to stop Barbadians from walking the beach. And in some instances, they seem to have created an environment where it looks as though they have indeed ended up with a private beach.
Yeah.
We expect that the authorities in this country would defend the rights of Barbadians in this regard. And rather than just leave it to the poor people of St. Philip, whichever south, north, east, or west, to fight this battle, one would expect that there would be a determined effort to assert the right of Barbadians to use the beaches in the way that the right excellent Errol Barrow also always asserted that we should have been able to use them.
Oh, Mr. Ellis, I must say, this last set of crop of politicians on the DLP, I see with no bones being picked. This has let us down like a bunch of corners. They have set us back 50 years in the making.
Well, that's your assessment. I got some people who have a different view, who believe they've done an exceptionally great job and should be reelected.
No, they got to think logically. Do the assessment. It means that if you want a business, and some person come into your work every single day, they're not producing. They're drawing a salary all the time. They're eating into your profits all the time. You're going in the right. You can continue to employ them. No, these politicians, all of them have let us down like a bunch of coconuts. They have set us back 50 years, and I'm very sad. I hope the electorate of Barbados will speak when the time has come. I don't have to go to no meetings. I don't have to see nothing. No one can change my mind at this point in time. My mind is already made up. I didn't know who I would vote for.
All right, sir. Thank you very
much.
Okay. Down to brass tacks. Hello.
Good morning, Mr. Ellis.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning. I have three issues I would like to discuss with you this morning. Now, the first one is that I usually work at a cleaning company. I have asked one of the staff there to buy a radio for me, a nice CD radio. And when she bought it, she said that anything I want, I could ask her to get it for me. No, I'll ask her to buy bags for me. There are some bags, and I'll ask her to buy a bag.
This is duty-free?
Duty-free, yes, sir. So I'll give her the money, and she buy. At no time have I ever take up a bag or anything.
Are you sure that what you are asking of this woman is considered legal in Barbados? I mean, if you are asking somebody who is working in a store to buy something for you duty-free, that's not supposed to be the way. So I think the first order of business is to recognize that you are on very sticky ground pursuing that.
Okay. Well, that was done. That's what I am. So to continue now, I was working one evening because I cleaned here in the evening, as I said. And this particular evening, I was in the swimwear department, and the broom catch on to the string of a bikini bathsuit, and it fell down, and I took it up and put it back on the rock where it was. Now this person saw when I put it up, obviously, and began to behave as if I'm a thief. So heavy heaving, I go to work, everybody will begin to stare at me, you know. So I say to my supervisor then, you know, and she said,
the name of the company, please.
I'm not calling it. I said to my supervisor, and she said, I must go and do my work because the place have camera there. So if I was stealing, then they would see. You know, and I noticed that for the past day, everybody see me and everybody hiding their bag. So it means say that I steal bag at this department store.
So the question is, how do you correct that particular problem? It's an image issue based upon what you are suggesting is a misrepresentation of what has taken place.
Exactly.
So what are you going to do? Have you thought about the options available to you in trying to clarify the matter?
Well, I've been...
It's a hard one to deal with, though, you know.
Yes, it is. And that is the reason for calling, you know, because this has been going on for ever since.
Tell me for ever since. How long is ever since?
Ever since this is going on from 2012.
From 2012?
From 2012.
So that shows you how difficult it is then for you to be able to erase that.
You know, right? And it's not easy. It's not easy for when people see you, they see you as a thief and begin to say things indirectly, you know, and hiding their bags and from you. And so, you know, and today, you know.
Well, you got to adjust. The truth of the matter is, ma'am, that in those circumstances, if you cannot change that particular perception easily, then you have to adjust to the reality. That's what I would suggest. You adjust to the reality of recognizing that you have to ignore a lot of what is being said. You know yourself better than anybody else. You know that not to be true. And in those circumstances, I mean, unless you're going to go to the to members of staff and speak to them about it, but even then, you got to be very careful with it.
Exactly, because that is exactly what I did, and it turned out to be what it is today.
Okay, well, it's difficult for me to advise you otherwise. I can't see how I can give you advice to deal with that. That's a question of something that has happened to create a particular perception that it is very, very difficult for you to counter unless you get good public relations advice. And even then, there's no guarantee that PR could work. Precisely. I'm sorry to hear about it. Down to brass tacks. This cruise terminal issue, the lockout, is indeed factual. Stetson Bab says that he's interviewed the manager outside of the port. And this is a matter that I believe he's got this interview to bring to us at sometime during this program, and certainly within the 12:30 news, you'll get details of it. So we need to find out exactly what's behind that. Hello? You're on the air. Can you turn your radio down or off, please?
Yes, sir. Hi. Good morning, Mr. Ellis.
Yes.
Can you hear me now?
Good morning, yes.
Good. Three quick things. One, I must commend the young lady from Princess Margaret for standing her ground, right, against the bully. And she raised her level, and she did not stoop to the level that everybody was commenting on Facebook that she should have done and what's not.
What you're saying is that you found a lot of comment on Facebook.
There were a few comments on Facebook that said that if I was them, I would have do this, I would have burst, you know, the usual in Bayesian parlance. Which, yes, if you don't have complete control of one's emotions, of course, I mean, you're human and you will obviously want to react because bullying is something not to be tolerated on any level. But, I mean, she stood her ground, and I think it frustrates when a person ignores you. The more a person ignores the babblings or tauntings of another individual, the more that individual that is doing the taunting will get angry, because they're going to say it to themselves, but wait, I'm doing this to him or her, and they're just blatantly ignoring me. They even listen, they even looking at me. So kudos to that young lady for standing her ground, because it's the other person that made a fool of herself, basically. She and those that were backing her, even the same core students of the Princess Margaret who just walked away and did not get in it or whatever, and the Dayton Griffith girl that tried to pull her away and she went back up in the girl fest, yada, yada, yada. But anyway, kudos to her. Good. I hope that that situation will be resolved soon and that person will get the serious discipline that they obviously need. Anyway, moving on, with in respects to what the lady, the Jamaican lady that comes on a lot and always have something to say about the party, everybody has their right to feel how they want to feel. We live in a democracy that was created by our forefather, the late great Earl Walton Barrow. And you have your right to opinion. You have your right to say it. This is what brass tacks. This is what talk you talk. And different radio mediums are there for. Right? So if you have your right, everybody has their right. So there's no need for you to come bashing and saying things underhandedly, insulting another caller, right, whom I would applaud despite his eye impairment, can still come and give a contribution, whether yeah or nay, right? Because the same way how you don't like it for yourself, don't wish it upon others. And I applaud you, Mr. Ellis, for letting her know that you are pro-BLP and the other gentleman is pro-DLP, so it's neither there or there. You made her move on.
But we got to deal with the central issues.
Right.
We need to be separated from just the pro-BLP and the pro-DLP position. And that
Correct.
Is, you know, central to all of this is, where is Barbados today? What
right.
are its prospects in light of where it stands
and
right
where
now?
You would like it to
and
be
where would you
tomorrow
want to see
and
it
in the future.
Precisely.
Right, precisely. So again, I say I congratulate you on that. That is good in moderation, good moderating. Mm-hmm. Lastly, I want people to know out there, all right, on both sides of the fence and even the ones in between. But before I say that, I must put a footnote. The young lady that is attempting to run in the city, everybody can run, no problem. Once you think you have the rear fall, and you can do it. But in doing so, Mr. Ellis, and I hope the young lady is listening, you must also, if not going too far, present yourself as a person suited to run in the political life. Whereas you cancel certain things. If I want to clean up my act, as I said I'm doing or whatever, I will cancel certain things if I have certain posts on social media. That would make other people to differ. Now, this has nothing to do with her personal life, what she did or what she has done or what she's currently doing. That's her personal business, because there are people in suits and in high places that do far worse and commit far worse atrocities than hers. You go back to the word of God in the Bible, the lady that was the prostitute. Everybody wanted to throw stones and lick her down. What did the good Lord say? Let ye that is without sin cast the first stone. They all had to drop their stones and go the other way because they know within their hearts and in their minds they committed far worse sins than her simple sin of selling her body to men.
I really think that you guys really need to stop seeing this discussion about that candidate only in the context of being a prostitute. A lot has been said on social media by that woman that causes people to be concerned. And that has a lot more. She can say, look, I am not going to be involved in prostitution anymore. That's fine. But what about all the cursing and profanities that have been spewed on social media over time? That, too, has made an impact on some people. However, having said that, when you say A, you gotta say B. A combination of these two factors seem to have created a shock value associated with this particular candidate. And just like how Donald Trump was able to capture the imagination of the media and other people in the United States from his shock value, I put it to you that what I'm seeing here is a kind of effect, a similar effect that particular candidate is having. Indeed, so strong is the effect that somebody just sent me a WhatsApp. And the WhatsApp is essentially saying what here, no? That, what they're saying, that Youth Talkback Forum, full disclosure, the BCC Youth Talkback Forum, guest speaker, March 2018. Well, I just need to make sure that this is indeed. Yes, it says Monday the 26th at 1 p.m. All political parties will be represented. This event will be live streamed. It says BCC Youth Talkback Forum, guest speaker, March 2018. Natalie Hayward, independent candidate for the city of Bridgetown. So you understand that it works both ways. You have people who are aghast at the idea that somebody who has been able, who's carried themselves like that in the public domain, can be advanced as a candidate or can advance themselves as a candidate with support. And then, on the other hand, people who believe that this is something out of the ordinary, and because it is so out of the ordinary, it is more appealing. Understand? Down to brass tacks.